You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Show goes expeditionary later this week. So starting on Thursday, we'll broadcast from Washington, D.C. And we'll actually broadcast on Saturday and Sunday. There's a half marathon on Saturday, and then the full-blown marathon on Sunday. So, no, so excited about that. Biggest cultural event in the Marine Corps. Huge event in D.C. So we'll go hang out there. See what happens. Should be fun. Yeah, it's my house. Anyway, good morning. Good Monday morning for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Fought with my sprinklers again yesterday. And I won. Last time I didn't win so much. This time I won. If you can picture an L tipped over on its, a capital L tipped over on its right, on it's rotated 90 degrees. Okay. Now fatten the long line a bit and then fatten the short line about twice as much as you fatten the long line. Okay. That'll give you, if you close your eyes and do that, it'll give you some kind of visual representation of my long. Okay. I had an issue. If you, as you're looking at the L, the short fat part on the far left, yeah, I just stripped it, wasn't getting any water. And then, kind of, on the north end as you're looking at the diagram, about a third of the way in, I had a spot that wasn't getting covered. And I tried to, like, tweak things and cover it. So I did a few modifications to a water line, and boom, everything was good. So I defeated my lawn. And I don't know why things like that are important to me, but they are. Once I engage, I cannot be defeated by an inanimate object. Right? I'm an American. I'm a retired Marine. That will not be happening. So the lawn has been defeated. I've conquered it. It is mine. So anyway, I have that going for me this morning. I want to talk about the caravan. I don't know, because I was working in the yard yesterday, I had nothing going on in my head except the task at hand. While I was doing manual labor, I was looking, and, I'd come in and out looking at the news. And so much in the news is this caravan. And I'm trying to think of, like, a caravan that starts in Canada that just blows through American, our border, and then blows through the nation on its way to someplace else. What? how does that work? So, now, and then the other thing to me about it is, remember I told you, as I look at the United States now, all the stuff we see on TV, it's all staged. It's all staged for effect. During the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, remember Jeff Flake getting stopped in the elevator? Staged. You know, your first reaction when you see this video is, this woman's pouring out her soul to him. She's the president of a liberal nonprofit, and the whole thing was staged, right? They know what they're doing. So the caravan stage right in front of the election? If so, who's behind that? Where do these people come from? So they just, and then they just blow through countries, you know. It's pretty astounding when you think about it, you know. The one thing that's not astounding is the conditions that have gone on in Latin America for so long. And I mean, honestly, it's grotesque. I mean, think about Mexico for so many years, the corruption in Mexico. You are the neighbor. You are physically attached to the greatest economic power on the planet. And you can't get out of your own way. You can't exploit that. You can't create the financial, the social, infrastructure, the labor infrastructure that you need to take advantage of your geographic good fortune. And it just doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't happen. So the conditions there, and I remember when General Kelly was first DHS, and he was talking about defense of the border, he said it starts way south. And finding ways to promote economic growth in Central America, Honduras, Guatemala, and now Venezuela. I mean, can you imagine? The most oil-rich nation in the Western Hemisphere is completely on its ass. And so you have this caravan, oddly done at just before the American election. To what end? To inflame the American immigration discussion and get out the vote? To motivate people to vote? Is that what it is? So you, and then you had, over the weekend, you had Nancy Pelosi and another California congresswoman, I think, down in Florida, campaigning for Donna Shalala. Well, the other woman that was campaigning with them had made, when Cuba opened, she made, I can't, statements about Castro that were, you know, pro-Castro, and she was not warmly received in Miami. And I believe they were in Little Havana, right? Which is full of former Cubans. And so then there's a video going around over the weekend of them seeing Nancy Pelosi and cussing at her and things like that. Well, who took that? Well, the guy who takes that is the president of one of the right-wing groups. And so, when you look at this caravan, how do you not ask, like, who started this? How does a caravan start and where does it circulate to say, come on, let's all go to the United States? Who organizes that? Who does that? Who finances it? You know? Can you imagine? And can you imagine that the civil disaster that how many homeless people that decide to squat in your city do? I mean, first of all, where do they go to the bathroom? Answer: wherever they want. And when they're walking and living like that, I mean, so I get who just spontaneously says, "Yeah, let's go to the United States." I mean, first of all, they don't send very many people back. I'm sure that's a... And if you're a family and you claim asylum, then you stay there. You're released into the United States. That's the American immigration system. Right? And if we all claim asylum, then, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So it highlights our immigration problem. But again, my point is this. As you look at all these different things, it's all staged. It's all staged. It reminds me of Iraq. We've descended to that point that if you're seeing it on TV, somebody choreographed it because they want you to see it because they're making a certain point. Yeah. How icky is that? Straight up icky. Yeah. And all these things that you see, it's all political choreography. And it's just, we just have different formats now. It gets up on YouTube. We don't even need the newspapers anymore. How wonderful is that? We don't need a YouTube an editor to think it's a good story and run it, right? We need it to go viral. So what do we need? We need it to be crazy. We need the video to be, you know, really compelling so that it can go viral. And that's what, That's what impacts our world these days. So I don't know. I just how a group of 4,000 people rolls through your country when you're a sovereign nation, I don't really understand. You know. So what do the Mexicans do? They just get out of the way as a nation? Hey, yeah, they're not for here anyway. We'll escort them through after we shake them down. Right. Well, after various people steal their money and their food and whatnot. So anyway, good Monday morning to you. So let me tell you about this week. So what we're going to do this week, as we go expeditionary, is I'll fly late Tuesday night. Leave here about 11 o'clock or something like that. And get in on Wednesday morning. Wednesday show will be recorded. And so I'll meet with the people of the marathon and find out where I'm supposed to be. And then Thursday morning, you'll hear from people involved in the marathon and running and things like that. So all of that happens. And then Friday we'll do the same thing. They have kind of a fanfare thing that is so common now with big events. Get out there a few days before, and you have sponsors and you have different events that go on there, all in preparation. And then on Friday, on Saturday, there's half marathon. Sunday, there's the marathon. So, so big weekend. So it'll be fun. And I'm looking forward to it. So that's the week. Then we'll come back, I think back for a week, and then go expeditionary the following week up to Mankato, Minnesota, and talk about post-traumatic winning. So I'm excited about that. Post-traumatic winning is going to be a big deal, I think, anyway. The more people that I talk to, the more people that hear it are extremely receptive, and it tickles me that they are, because I do believe that post-traumatic winning is not a hypothesis. Okay, it is proven, and the term is different, and maybe linking some things together. And then what's truly different is exporting our knowledge to back to the civilian community, which is a cool thing for us to do. So, just the whole premise, the whole president, The whole premise to me is based on our experience and our history. And I got an email from somebody the other day who was listening to the program that says, I think you're spot on relative to the amount of medication that gets given. It's way overprescribed. And there ought to be, and if it is prescribed, it ought to be for short durations and small doses, designed to get you over through a crisis, over a hump. And then the point of therapy would be to get you to understand the things that he said you talk about, Mac. It isn't going away. Okay, so what are the things that you need to accept, and how do you need to live your life? So we'll go up to Mankato, and that's part of a Veterans Day thing. So I think I'll speak twice up there and then come home. And then at the end of the month, I've got to put the finishing touches on organizing this, but go to Camp Lejeune and talk about post-traumatic winning to the 2nd Marine Division. So after Thanksgiving. So excited about that. Big month for All Marine Radio. Going expeditionary all the time. All expeditionary all the time. I got a book over the weekend that I want to tell you about. Kind of interesting. And got an email yesterday from somebody who listened to the programming that I did with Jack Riley. And had a family member killed in that fight, and sent me a note. So I'll post. There's some stuff in there that I'll post so you can see. But you know, it's like out of the blue. Poof. Hey, Mac, you don't know me, but. And it's crazy. You know, I mean, yeah, And then you'll get this incredible email out of the blue. And I don't know what to say. And it's stunning. It's stunning when it happens. So anyway, I'll share that with you. We'll check the news headlines of the day, and then good on joining us. The Dodgers will face the Red Sox in the Battle of Los Angeles, Boston. So hopefully it'll be a good series. I think the two teams are pretty evenly matched. I would tell you going in, I didn't watch the National League that much, so I don't know where the Dodgers rank in terms of the better teams and who's played consistently, but they got a big home run from Yasiel Puig, who's about as crazy as they come, and who's going to be the center, though, of a pretty, I think, a federal case that's going to be brought against Major League Baseball, or some of the people that are involved in Major League Baseball are going to be named in it, but it involves human trafficking. It involves baseball teams supporting human trafficking. So, how about that? But anyway, it ought to be a great World Series. And, or it could be, you know, one never knows. So, so we'll talk about that a little bit. That's going on. I watched a little bit of the Lakers game. LeBron James is a Laker now. Yeah, so come on. I figured I should watch a little bit of the Lakers if he's part of the Lake Show, as it's known. I know everybody going, oh. There, I saw pictures. There's like four buildings that have LeBron James murals on them in downtown Los Angeles. Yeah. He's a big deal. He's a big deal. All right. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official this morning on a week when we go expeditionary again. Good morning to you. I think that you're absolutely right about all these things being staged. I think if news organizations find that whoever's provided the videotape has staged this event, I don't think they should run it. Yeah, but see, here's the problem. If the video's hot, how do you not run it if the whole premise of your coverage is based on clicks? Don't you have to? If it's crazy over the top, Jeff Flake looking so uncomfortable. Jeff Flake looking so uncomfortable, trapped in an elevator by two women screaming at him. You know, emotionally screaming at them, at him. Yeah, what a conundrum. What a conundrum. To say no, I don't know. Maybe we think that they're made of something that they're not. Our democracy has descended. I don't know. My son Patrick got to watching something about the caravan, I think. Was it the caravan? And so he was talking, he was watching another link about what's going on in Portland with the Antifa. And so he was asking, he goes, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, you're watching the video." I said, "Here's the scarier question. The scarier question is, what changes any of it? Because it only gets worse." Yeah, the scary part is, it only gets worse. So, this is dedicated to Expeditionary Week, another one. And in the hope that something changes in this country, that people act decently towards each other, that intellectual discourse is something that we rediscover. Regular order is something that we discover again. And so, this is dedicated to that thought. For the life of me, I don't know how it happens, because the forces that generate money all thrive on the Jerry Springer event. Social media thrives on the acrimony and the craziness that it generates. I don't know how it happens.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, PTSD is like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, "Look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran." Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check weather in Marineland. Then we'll check news headlines. Got an interesting email here. I'll read that to you first. Do you think anything's really changed? Don't you think it's always been this way? These are just the tools that they have at their disposal. I think that. I think that if our forefathers and people that came after them have found that these tools, they would have done the exact same thing. They are the exact same people. They always have been the exact same people. Interesting. You know, I would... excuse me. I don't know that I disagree with that. It's like we long for the good old days, right? Joe McCarthy? He was in the good old days. Segregation? Those were in the good old days. Exactly. Would they? So it's just, all things remain the same, ceteris paribus, as they say in economics. Everything else remains the same. It has always been like this. It will always be like that. Like this. And burn it down. I saw an interesting comment. It's like, yeah, like, how do these groups grow? Like, yeah, let's go to the United States. What? Grab your shit. We're going to the United States. Huh? I don't know. I just... How spontaneously? Right? Am I that stupid? All right. I don't believe it. I don't know who finances such a thing. Let me tell you. Is it Republicans that would finance it? So that gives the president a forum to bash the Democrats? Is it Democrats who fund it, right, to give the Democrats a forum right before the election, an emotional forum to talk about family detention, to talk about what a piece of garbage the president is, to urge Democrats to get out there and vote? Is that what it is? Or should we naively believe that it's just what happened? All right. We'll check the weather. I have to pay attention to the weather in D.C. Sun in 46. What? It's 10:30 in the morning. Okay, old Mac going to be doing the show from outside in D.C. Sunny in 46, looking for a high of 59. Tuesday, 69. Wednesday, 79. All right, let's get the extended forecast so we can do a little... Let's see, Tuesday, Wednesday, 56. Thursday, no, can't not rain. Come on now. Thursday, sunny and 53. Friday, afternoon showers. We'll be off the air by then. And 52 degrees. Saturday, light rain and 48. Sunday, morning showers and 55 degrees. All right, that means we've got to go all weather. All weather. So in the 50s all week. That means the peacoat. Yeah. The beautiful, one of the greatest coats ever produced. My toggle coat. Toggle jacket, toggle coat. One of the two. So, fired up about that. Alright, sunny at 55 degrees at Camp Lejeune. Clouds at 55, Granbury, Texas. 29 Palms, sunny in 62. Clouds in 60 at Pendleton. Dark cloudy in 76 in Okinawa. Clear in 73, so it's warmed up in Afghanistan. They were still doing the election thing yesterday. Clear 73 in Marja, in the south-central part of the country, and at the home of All Marine Radio. Cloudy and 64 degrees here on a Monday, and see where we're headed. I think, yeah, we had like, it was 90 degrees here Saturday, Friday, some crazy stuff like that. So for today, looking for a high of 73, tomorrow 75, Wednesday, 75, Thursday, 79, Friday, 82, Saturday, 82. So, getting back to where we ought to be historically, mercifully. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines as we get going here on a Tuesday. Somebody says, Mac, what's the book called? The book is called On Desperate Ground, written by a guy named Hampton Sides, who wrote Ghost Soldiers and In the Kingdom of Ice. The Marines at the Reservoir, the Korean War's Greatest Battle. So, I'll just tell you a couple things, give you a couple thoughts. A friend of mine sent it to me, the one and only Jess Humphreys. Congratulations to Jess, who's just completed his MBA, living in San Diego now. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at AllMarineRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com.
Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you have promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and self in of this heartbreak. I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah, I'll let it all out.
Peyton Davis. You can find it on iTunes.
But right now it's just me.
All right, time to check the news. A bunch of it this morning, actually. Some days not so much. Some days there are. Headline, the Corps must change how it gets wartime geared to the fight, generals say. But I don't see any suggestion on how you're going to do it. For nearly 40 years, the Marine Corps has relied on maritime pre-positioning force program to have a brigade's worth of gear at the ready in key theaters. The program has been reconfigured over the years, but essentially uses squadrons of densely packed commercial ships that hold everything from tanks to trucks to radios to spare parts. But three generals who spoke at the National Defense Industrial Association Expeditionary Warfare Conference said the program at best needs to change and could need an entire overhaul. Lieutenant General David Berger, who's commanding General Marine Corps Combat Developmental Command, said that while MPF was a brilliant concept in its day, it has to change. Those giant roll-on, roll-off ships are not survivable, Berger said. They're not compatible to the places we're going to have to pull them in, to have them pull in the future because of their deep draft. The ships are large and require deep water ports and sophisticated crews to unpack the gear in a very linear way. They were perfect for landing Desert Shield, Desert Storm. They are not perfect for competing with China. The program began in the Cold War, blah, 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 blah. From 2008 to 2012, older model commercial ships were replaced with newer, sturdier transport ships to accommodate the added armor vehicles being put into the inventory. Beginning in 2013, the squadrons were reduced to two, the Diego Garcia and the Guam-based squadrons. The squadrons were also configured to provide options for configurable packages from light, medium to full strength, MPSRONS, whatever the hell that is. As recently as last month, DOD Inspector General report revealed that the military Sealift Command failed to properly oversee maintenance of the MPF ships. The military Sealift Command was unable to accurately assess the condition and the readiness of some of the ships. You know what? I'm not so concerned about that. What I'm curious about was, what's the new idea? So we think that future MPF concept would be something that, instead of large, giant, multi-hull with lots of storage in it, or major end items and prime movers, instead a set of smaller, tailorable lift assets that could be more mobile, be more utilized in a lot of these exercises that we're doing, tailored for these missions, said Brigadier General Adams. Okay, well, where does this shit come from, though? If it's not a bunch of it, a brigade's worth of equipment, how does it get to the little boats that are going to speed around and do other things? The other concern is what you get with MPF. The gear is supposed to be in pristine condition and ready to go. That ain't the way it works, though. That you roll that stuff off the boats, you LTI it, you find all kinds of stuff that's wrong with it, and then you begin to fix it. The reason those ships are involved in exercises is exactly that happens. They roll the equipment off, they LTI it, they op check it, stuff's broken, seals are broken, salt water's not kind to things, and then they replace it, they go out and they operate and they use it, and then they fix whatever is wrong with it, and then they put it back on. And then it's good for a little while longer. Brigadier General Christian Wortman said there's a few novel ideas out there. He advocated for looking at unmanned and autonomous systems to help with resupply and positioning. Dakota Wood, who's a fellow, retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel, working at the Heritage Foundation, says the MPF has to be modernized and become more than simply a floating warehouse. He said the Marine Corps is more than likely going to conclude that it's an idea whose time has come and gone. He offered an idea where the ships could be attached to the Amphibious Readiness Groups, ARGs, as they're known, MEWs, moving alongside them at protected distances. Those ships then could be reconfigured to support more advanced technology. to upgrade or maintain drone fleets or other weapon systems in addition to carrying inventories. You could have an interior space with long loiter aerial vehicles in an elevator system that can be brought up on a flight deck. The flight deck would be the top deck. All the assets would be still below deck, and you would have a hangar deck that you would maintain these things on. You could have an interior space with long loiter aerial vehicles in an elevator system that could be brought up on a flight deck. That would free up deck space on other ships for larger manned or unmanned aircraft. So anyway, interesting. The Marine Corps has long advertised this capability, the maritime pre-position force, and it's essentially a gear set, and it pulls into certain ports associated with certain exercises, and that's been the way we've done it. The key thing you have to have, though, is you have to have a port. So if we say we're going to fight the Chinese in an island somewhere, how do we get this stuff there? There's no port. Does it mean you can't use it? Sounds like it. Yeah, you can't use it. It's not going to be used in the initial phase of the operation. Headline, charged with war crimes and stuck in the brig, a Navy SEAL vows to fight on. Charged earlier this month with multiple war crimes in connection with a 2017 stabbing death of a detainee in Iraq, Special Operations Chief Edward Eddie Gallagher vows to fight for his freedom. The 19-year Navy veteran has hired two higher-powered criminal defense attorneys who specialize in military law. One is familiar to all of you because he's been on the program. His name is Colby Volkey. And a second one by the name of Philip Stackhouse of San Diego. And he's exploring a civil rights lawsuit against NCIS agents for alleged misconduct linked to his September 11th arrest and detention in San Diego's Naval Consolidated Brig at Miramar. An Article 32 hearing with a special military judge sent from Florida will begin to sift through the evidence against Gallagher on November 14th in San Diego, according to his attorney. The judge will then recommend which charges should be forwarded or withdrawn by an admiral who could, of course, convene a general court-martial. Gallagher has been accused of murder, aggravated assault, obstruction of justice, and professional misconduct. Multiple criminal defense attorneys, senior military commanders in the Navy, and several special warfare units told Navy Times that the ongoing war crime probe isn't focused solely on Gallagher, but includes more than a dozen SEALs who also deployed between 2017 and early 2018 near what was then the Islamic State stronghold of Mosul, Iraq. NCIS agents are not only probing a number of serious allegations involving the death of the detainee, but also images that allegedly depict SEALs posing with the body. They're also exploring concerns about how Naval Special Warfare Group 1 officers and senior enlisted leaders handled the initial reports about war crimes and the internal investigation that followed in their wake, they say. But the central question in Gallagher's case is whether he and other SEALs rendered first aid to the wounded Islamic State fighter or if they executed him. Yeah. Anyway, it's a fairly lengthy article. There was just a study done. Let me see if I could find the headline. Saying that the SEALs don't have a cultural problem. After an investigation. Here it is. The Navy SEALs don't have a disciplinary problem. The Navy Department's second highest civilian leader says a recent string of alleged misconduct in the Naval Special Warfare ranks is not indicative of a wider cultural problem in the elite community. Undersecretary Thomas Modley told reporters Thursday that while service leaders are concerned about the recent high-profile allegations of wrongdoing in the Navy SEAL community, there's nothing that's indicative of a cultural problem. We're a huge enterprise, and so as a huge enterprise, we have problems just like every other enterprise, he said, at a Defense Writers Group event in Washington. So when these types of problems arise, there are very, very good processes to go through a legal adjudication of them, and I think that we do that very well. Over the last 6 months, 10 SEALs were booted from the service after testing positive for drugs. 2 senior leaders were relieved following allegations of sexual misconduct, and reports broke that an operator is in the brig while under investigation after allegedly executing an Iraqi detainee. These obviously high profile because they do come from our most elite warfighting areas, but my sense is that we don't have a cultural problem there. Obviously, we're concerned about it. It doesn't reflect well in the service, but these are fairly isolated incidents. While Modley says he doesn't have any data to support the idea that SEALs aren't committing more misconduct than special operators in other services, his impression is that the Navy's elite aren't faring any worse than the Army, Air Force, or Marine commanders. It could also be the result of 17 years of war in stressful conditions. So, that was a headline from, about a week ago? Yeah, about a week ago. And I would tell you that in that headline, what didn't get trumpeted loudly was, I have nothing to base this on. I would tell you, they do have a cultural problem. You see that among the SEALs than any other group of special operators in the DOD. Here's an interesting story out of Army Time. Service members are getting catfished, blackmailed on dating apps by male prisoners posing as women. Okay, yeah. The young service member has never been the quintessence of financial stability. Exorbitant purchases or financial commitments on an E-1 or E-2 salary often leaves bank accounts, much like the areas of the brain coordinating these decisions, shockingly vacant. But every so often, this eccentric group of money-blowing babes in the woods manages to surprise even itself by tunneling even further into the darkest depths of the financial pit of misery. That was the case this week when Army officials and South Carolina law enforcement officials revealed that young soldiers have allegedly been getting duped into funneling cash to prison inmates following text message exchanges featuring nude photos of women the soldiers believed they were conversing with, according to the U.S. Army Criminal Investigative Command. Remember, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. The Army issued guidance for soldiers on how to avoid such scams as recently as April. But with the memo evidently falling on deaf ears, the service launched an investigation into the matter known as Operation Surprise Party. Surprise discovered the alleged sextortion scheme began in 2015 with prisoners posing on dating applications, primarily one called Plenty of Fish, as women in the same age bracket as the targeted soldiers. Once making contact on the dating application, the conversations are transferred to phone-to-phone text messages. After several hours to several days of texting, the subject will either send unsolicited nude images of a female to the victim and/or agree to trade sexually explicit images with the victim. But shortly after swapping nude photos with Andy Dufresne, Red, and the sisters, The unsuspecting soldiers would allegedly receive the text from another phone number belonging to a completely different prisoner, who would then pose on the fictional girl's father. Then pose as the fictional girl's father. The father then notifies the victim that the female is under the age of 18. The father will typically state that he will leave law enforcement out of the equation if the victim agrees to pay for various things like cell phone replacement, counseling, hospital treatment. Targeted service members often cave in to the pressure, the report said, forking over the cash out of fear of repercussions from their command as the panic sets in that they've unknowingly been soliciting child pornography. Once the soldiers wire the cash, a runner, who authorities have identified as the operation's money mule, receives the transfer and deposits the fund into a JPay account, a payment processing system used by inmates. JPay also this is amazing, isn't it? JPay also oversees distribution of South Carolina's costly prison tablet system, the report said, so inmates can directly apply the extorted money to funding the online scheme from inside the prison walls. The South Carolina Department of Corrections has petitioned to end inmates' ability to use mobile communication devices inside prison, a policy change that has gained momentum in April after prisoners used contraband cell phones to coordinate a riot that left 7 inmates dead. Now, why in God's name, just because they're catfishing soldiers and just because they're organizing riots with their phones, why in God's name would we end their access to mobile devices while they're in prison? Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely, positively amazing. We've just, again, right? The things that you know about criminals is that they will take whatever is at their disposal and they will criminalize it. And that's what you see here. Amazing. Something near and dear to me, because it happened to my son's unit, but I'm not a particular fan of the way that the headline's been written, because it's almost like it makes light, and I think it's inappropriate. But the headline is this: Gear Adrift is not a gift, but a potentially deadly escape hazard. The story's a serious story about a series of incidents that have caused the Marine Corps to take a look at how gear gets stowed inside helicopters. The Marine Corps is now looking to establish a policy for securing gear and equipment on tactical vehicles and aircraft. There have been a number of mishaps where unsecured gear and equipment caused injury or may have prevented the safe egress of Marines operating in vehicles and in aircraft. One of those events was the MV-22 crash off the coast of Australia on August 5th, 2017. Now, you can imagine, right, if you're in a vehicle or in a helicopter, you know, you come, they're going to pick you up. What do you do with your pack? It's just between your legs, right? So you got everything else on, your helmet, right? You got everything else is on, but it's undone in case you have to egress. You got your weapon, and then you got your pack sitting between your feet. Well, the cause of the crash was likely the result of rotor blade downwash, according to the investigation. Loose gear and equipment created obstacles and hindrances to Marines trying to escape the aircraft. About 9 minutes was all it took for the Osprey to sink in the ocean after it struck the side of the amphibious transport dock ship, Green Bay, during a ship-to-shore training evolution. But unsecured equipment in a tilt rotor was violently thrown about the aircraft as it crashed, creating hazardous projectiles and impeding Marines from rapidly egressing the aircraft. Three Marines lost their lives in the crash. 26 Marines went in the water. 23 came out. Marines at all levels, both in the operating forces and supporting establishment, will take a holistic approach to securing personal gear, and equipment in all tactical conveyances, the MAR admin reads. The Marine Corps plans to carry out a review of its aircraft and tactical vehicles to evaluate what kinds of equipment need to or will be stored in the vehicles and what space is available to store the equipment. The review is described as overdue. Solutions may be as simple as cargo nets, tie-down points, or modifications of additional storage containers to the platform. Commanders may consider and plan for proper storage and securing of any item transferred via tactical conveyance. You'll see it on Amtraks, right? You see packs strapped to the outside of the vehicle. You'll see it on LAVs, packs strapped to the outside of the vehicle, because there's simply not any room inside. So, what do you do with them on the inside of the helicopter? Yeah, how much time do you have to sit on the ground when this thing's coming to pick you up? In a peer-to-peer event where those Marines are in the front, they're either going to get dropped off or, you know, you don't have time to empty the luggage rack. So it'll be interesting to see how they navigate that. U.S. South Korea suspend more military exercises. The Pentagon announced Friday it's suspending another major military exercise with South Korea in an effort to support denuclearization talks with North Korea, raising concerns about how long forces on the peninsula can forgo major training opportunities before readiness is hurt. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis and South Korean National Defense Minister Jae Jong-do made the decision to suspend Vigilant Ace, an annual December air exercise involving more than 12,000 forces, to give the diplomatic process every opportunity to continue, according to Pentagon. Press Secretary Dana White the announcement is just the latest twist around the question of when, if, or the United States will resume joint exercises, with warnings that the pause in exercises will hurt readiness of U.S. forces on the peninsula. Then you have retired guys chiming in. Quote, there's already been a readiness degradation, is the truth of the matter, Spohr said. At this point, the degradation, I'm not sure why I can't say that, is still probably acceptable. However, the nature of the U.S. rotations in Korea, in 1 year unaccompanied or 2 year unaccompanied posts, depending on the rank, means the relationship and the ability to understand each other's decision making and operation is perishable. That's a fact. The readiness, that ability to do that, which is to be interoperable, is already beginning to age. Now, I would say that staff interaction, exercising those muscles, is more important than you can get people on the ground and do stuff anywhere in the world. Doesn't have to be in Korea. You can still exercise the force. Okay, but the interactions of the staff and things like that. So I would expect you to see something, some product that allows for those things to happen. And they may be ongoing right now, whether it be staff exercises without troops, called TOOTS, tactical exercises without troops, right? Using more computer simulation, things like that. But forcing staff to know each other, to interact with each other, to interoperate with each other, all of that. So, yeah, I would expect you to see something like that. And the way we'll know about it is that I would expect the North Koreans to throw a fit about it. They're trying to get around what we don't want you to do. Say goodbye to the old female dress blue coat. In a message to the force posted on Thursday of last week, the Marine Corps said the female dress blue coat with white shirt and neck tab would become obsolete by September 30th, 2022. In the meantime, female Marines can choose between the old female coat and the new dress blue uniform featuring a Mandarin collar. After September 2022, the new female Mandarin collar dress blue uniform coat will become the required dress coat. In August, female recruits with Platoon 4040 of Papaw Company, 4th Recruit Training Battalion, were the first company ever issued the new dress blue coat. There you have it. Uniform news, we're all about it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check the top five stories in the early bird as we catch up on some DOD news. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Monday, Expeditionary Week, in case you don't know. Marine Corps Marathon. Get to see my grandson, Finn. Yeah. He's got an open house on Friday, but I don't think I can get to it. Because the day will start with getting up early and getting to D.C., then you got to get set up. Then you got to do the program, right? So I've got to find a different way to skin the open house thing. Well, the easy one is just don't go. Well, I can't do that because people have gone out of their way for me. So just no show? Yeah, can't do that. Not exactly bridges I should be burning. Here's an email about the caravan. Mac, I was thinking the same thing over the weekend. How does this thing just blow through countries? What is it? Its own entity? You violate sovereign nations and it's okay? Maybe the Mexicans think that our criminals will take care of these people. No, I say that story not as some, you know, I'm not Mexican hating. When I was in Fallujah in 2006, one night, I don't know what we were doing. The nights in Fallujah were typically were devoted to trying to kill high value targets. All the special people would essentially worked at night. I mean, sometimes they worked during the day, but most of the time they worked at night. And so our job was to coordinate Marine units to support the special people. To find out what the special people were doing, make sure that what they were doing got briefed to the unit whose battle space they were doing it inside of. For instance, let's just say you owned Las Vegas. So you're fighting and you're running combat operations in Las Vegas. All of a sudden, the special people say, "Yeah, we're gonna fly into Vegas tonight, and we're gonna get objective bird brain." I looked at early bird that's up on my screen, and they have the right to, they service a whole series of targets that are on a target list, and bird brain is one of those targets. And when they find them and they have actionable intelligence and they're going to go, then you're in the supporting role. Okay. Somebody's got to nominate bird brain to get on that list. But once he's on the list, when he pings and they say, "Hey, we're going to do this," you don't really have a whole lot of recourse. So even though it's in your battle space, That's the way it works. So, that's been kind of the revolution of Iraq, Afghanistan, relative to special operations. Special operations, heretofore were done, you know, in a land far away. Nobody was near them. They did whatever they did, and it was kind of transparent. Special operators in Iraq and Afghanistan worked in and amongst everybody else. They didn't like it at first. They didn't like sharing information, but the better units did, and they got really good at it. The not-so-good units, they always struggled with it. It was kind of an interesting phenomenon to watch. And then the worst units, they wouldn't share their information with you. Stuff that they found, you know, never heard from them again. And then there were other units, and I won't name any of them, but the better units, they would send you, "Hey, our intel officer is going to call your intel guys and give you the data dump of what we got." And then you would wind up mining, you know, their intelligence that they got, which is the way it's supposed to work. So anyway, that's what we'd be doing at night. So one night, and you can imagine, Marine Corps Combat Operations Center, I don't know, around 30 Marines or so in there doing different things from... Right, you got intel guys in there. You've got fires guys in there. You got aviation guys in there. You got guys running all the maps and the displays. You've got a journal clerk in there to track everything. So all this stuff. You got comm guys in there that are making sure all your communications, your data's up, your wires up. So there's all kinds of, Then you had ground transport guys in there monitoring convoys that are moving through the AO and things like that. So we make sure we keep all that stuff on track. So anyway, the one night we're sitting in there, and the Marines are bored, so... There wasn't a whole lot going on, so somebody said, "All right, name one thing you hate." So they're going around, and there was a corporal by the name of, I want to say, Ivan Omar. And he says, and he's Hispanic. And I've told this story before, so I won't tell it in detail, but he says, "I hate Mexicans." And everybody stops, like, "What did he just say?" "Yeah, I hate Mexicans. And we're not all Mexican, you dumb gringos." And then everybody starts laughing. And to include all the Hispanic Marines. And then somebody says, "Well, can you explain?" And he tells a story. I think he was from Honduras. His mother had him in Honduras and then went to the United States. His grandmother raised him until he was 10. And when he was 10, his mother sent for him. And so his mother sends for him. And so what's going to happen is he's going to get turned over to a coyote to get to smuggle to the United States. So coyote shows up on the appointed day. They pay him part of the money that you pay. And then they take Omar. And out they go. Well, they get into Mexico. He's got money. And they get stopped by the Mexican federal police. And they take everything. They take their food. They take their money. And he tells this crazy story of getting smuggled into the United States. He's like, I hate Mexicans. And, they wind up on a manure train. All their clothes turn jello. Everybody treated. So they wind up stealing food, stealing chickens. Yeah, he said it was horrible. Horrible. Almost drowned in the Tijuana River. Got smuggled through the border in a cutout in a back seat of a car. Got taken to a gas station in Los Angeles and left there. Said, stay here. And he didn't know his mom. He'd never met his mom. Yeah. So he stays, he's 10 years old, staying in the back of a gas station in Los Angeles, waiting for a woman that he doesn't know to come get him. And he does. So he scavenges for 2 days in Los Angeles. Tell your kids to stay downstairs when they're little while you go upstairs. Pretty soon they follow you up. Or, watch TV all by themselves. I'm scared. He's 10 years old in the back of a gas station. Anyway, so he did the same thing. But again, who, all of a sudden you're just this group of people that blows through countries? The rules of sovereign nations don't apply to you? Hey, get out of the way, they're going to Mexico. They're going to the United States. They'll turn back on their own. And then the Americans could deal with them. Why do we need to spend our money? Buses, food, water, screw that. Get them out of here. The quicker they get through our county, the better. The quicker they get through our province, the better. Anyway, top five stories in the early bird. Number one, charged with war crimes and stuck in the brig, a Navy SEAL vows to fight on. Yeah, again, I will tell you this. If you listen to the program, I'm not a fan of the SEALs. I'm a Delta Force guy. And then to hear the number two guy at the Navy say, we don't have a cultural problem, right? The controversy surrounding the last Medal of Honor was because that guy is no longer welcome in the SEAL community because of his conduct. It just happens too much. So, anyway, number two, assassins threaten multi-billion-dollar U.S. effort to keep Afghan airmen flying. It's from Stars and Stripes. Two highly trained Afghan airmen were dead, killed by an assassin who waited for them on their way back to work. Mahbubulak Safi, 30, once Afghanistan's only C-130 flight engineer, was shot 6 times August 27th, along with Colonel Mohammed Shah, 45, one of the country's few C-130 pilots. Their families are left asking how Western military forces can justify investing so much money in training Afghan airmen while not doing more to protect them. The government has done nothing for his safety, Shah's brother, Spin Ghul, 59, a retired Afghan National Army colonel, said. The government should have realized the importance of their job and should have taken measures to secure their safety. Nilufar Rahami, the first female Afghan fixed-wing pilot, told Stars and Stripes how these threats and what she described as a lack of support from Kabul caused her to leave the Afghan Air Force and seek asylum in the U.S. in 2016. There is so much investment in pilots, said Rahmani, 27, in a rare interview. Unfortunately, once they get done with training and start their job in the Air Force, there is no protection or safety for men and women pilots. It is up to the individuals to try to keep themselves and their families alive. Safi and Shaw, the two that were murdered, were trained under an 8-year, $6.6 million effort to develop the Afghan Air Force, which has about 9,000 regular and special operations airmen, and now conducts more airstrike sorties in the country than the U.S. Air Force, according to the latest report from the Special Inspector General for Reconstruction Afghanistan. They talk about the difficulty of developing pilots. Pretty interesting little article. And so, since we can't shoot them out of the sky, we'll just murder them on the way to work, which is an effective strategy. Next article is pretty heartening. There are 172 veterans running for Congress in November. How about that? A total of 172 veterans won primaries this year and will appear on midterm ballots across the country. Their military service spans from the 1950s to today and includes time spent in the active duty ranks, reserve, and the Coast Guard. And gives a list of them. You know, it's I was talking earlier today. What changed it? Can veterans change it? Because they understand service in a way that a lot of people don't. I would keep my fingers crossed. But I would say that the powers that have created the landscape that we do politics on are what their media, right? They're the media, which is giant money. And they're also political, which is giant money. And there's this partnership in that that creates the landscape that we see on a nightly basis. It's gross. It's disgusting. But what changes it? Do we get different kinds of leaders who think that leadership is something different than when you go on CNN and run your mouth like different politicians do? And if you do that, do you get any traction in a party that would have to completely embrace that and clearly doesn't? I don't know. So, again, I would say at the least it's an uphill fight. Navy sends a carrier back to Russia's Arctic haunts. Navy carrier aviation is back in the Arctic Circle for the first time in nearly 30 years. The Harry S. Truman entered the Norwegian Sea on Friday, the first American flat top to do so since September of 1991, according to the 6th Fleet. Carrier and select escorts from its strike group are preparing to participate in a massive NATO exercise straddling late October into early November. That would be now. But they arrived Friday in the fast-thawing northern waters in the Atlantic, in the wake of warnings from the Navy's top officer about rising Russian activities there. The Truman's path on Friday was across what strategists called the GUIK gap, waters around Greenland, Iceland, the United Kingdom, considered vital if American warships must rush to Europe to aid allies. It is also a key route for Russian submarines slipping into the North Atlantic. On August 24th, the Navy reestablished the Second Fleet, a stalwart force during the Cold War, to patrol the Atlantic Ocean, including the northern climes. The Truman's northern voyage echoed Cold War patrols, said Dr. Daniel Gore, a former defense official and senior vice president for the Lexington Institute think tank, Quote, I'd wager that the Carrier Strike Group Command has never participated in this kind of exercise in that area. And if he has, if it has, it hasn't been since he or she was an ensign. It's not just about training for this kind of warfare, but specifically training the location that we might have to fight, he said. You are going to have to see more large-scale training in the Mediterranean, training in the Arctic, and training in the Western Pacific. The Truman's arrival in the Arctic this week marks the first time a carrier has operated there since the now-retired USS America operated there in September of 1991. Quote, despite the arduous weather and sea conditions, these men and women are demonstrating this ship can bring a full spectrum of capabilities to bear anywhere in the world, said Captain Nick Dina, the Truman's commanding officer, in a Navy release. Yeah. So there you have it. Getting after the Russians up in their neck of the woods. Military Times continues to run a series of polls that they started. They started rolling them out last week. The most recent is, many troops are skeptical of a new space force. Okay, well, let's ask them what they think about whatever, their ability to read the future. A couple of interesting operational developments around the world. All right. U.S. commander is confident in the Afghan security forces. The assassination of, we talked about this last week, we'll talk about it, you'll hear about it again tomorrow. Paul Solder is going to join us. And he's written, he's the owner-operator of Duffelblog. And he's going to come on and he wrote a piece last week, I think it was, about how the war in Afghanistan is lost. We just need, the only thing done to is cop to it. Head of CENTCOM said, the U.S. is pretty confident that the Afghans will be able to maintain the situation in Kandahar. Votel expresses confidence in the abilities of Afghan forces to provide security for the election and in the future. My assessment is the Afghans are resilient to this. I don't consider it to be something that will change the security situation. The Kandahar shooting, he said, won't diminish our will or us going forward. We remain absolutely committed to an Afghan-led Afghan reconciliation, Secretary of Defense added Friday, while attending an Asian security conference in Singapore. Right now we're going towards the election and we'll continue to defend the Afghan people. All right, so that pretty disturbing last week. Also, news of this, U.S. general wounded in Taliban attack that killed two Afghan leaders. Now, a different general got wounded. Because the initial report was that General Scott Miller, Lieutenant General Scott Miller, or no, was, is a general, one of the two, he's a three or four star, was unwounded, pulled his pistol during the shooting. The Pentagon has confirmed that U.S. Army Brigadier General Jeffrey Smiley was shot in a Taliban attack that killed two Afghan leaders in Kandahar province last week. U.S. military spokesman Commander Grant W. Neely provided no other details. The Washington Post reported earlier Sunday that Smiley was recovering after suffering at least one gunshot wound while he was inside the Kandahar governor's compound. The Taliban assailant, I don't know this is factually, right? I've seen accounts in the Afghan press that say this guy's brother was yoked up by that general. And he had waited for years to kill him. General Smiley started out as a entered the Marine Corps in 1983. Then he got out, joined the Oregon National Guard, transferred to the California National Guard in 1987, commissioned in 1988. He assumed command of Train Advised Assist Command South on June 30th. That's quite the career. Yeah, you can see the role the guard plays. The other interesting operational thing going on is United States cooperation with Turkey. U.S.-Turkey to soon begin joint patrols in northern Syria. Turkish and American troops could begin conducting joint patrols in a matter of days around the northern Syrian city of Manbij, the top U.S. commander in the Middle East said on Sunday. Army General Joe Vogel, head of the U.S. Central Command, told reporters traveling with him that the soldiers' training is expected to last several more days, and then they'll begin to conduct combined patrols. Manbij patrols are part of a roadmap that Ankara and Washington agreed on in June to defuse tensions amid Turkish demands for the withdrawal of U.S.-backed Turkish militia that freed the town of Manbij from the Islamic State group in 2016. The U.S. and the Turks have been conducting independent patrols along the border, and joint patrols are considered a way to tamp down potential violence between the various groups there. We are right on track where we want to be, Vogel said. We've been through a very deliberate and mutually agreed upon training program. Yeah, so the Kurds ran the Islamic State guys out of there. The Turks objected to the Kurds being there, and we're going to get after them. We intervened, and this is the solution. All right, I got two more things to cover. And then Gunnar's going to join us. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Nah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
I'm good. But I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good. But I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.